chapter 5, beginning at verse number 9. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's words, that y'all don't stand very much here. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn," somebody say old corn, "of the land, on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day." Verse 12, "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." You may be seated. I'll preach to you for just a few minutes tonight on changing your diet. How many's all for that? Changing your diet. There's a lot of different diets available right now in our world. With one that will accommodate about any lifestyle. From Weight Watchers to the Mediterranean diet. That's what my doctor told me. I need to go on the Mediterranean diet. Fellow, I'd starve to death. Then there's the Mediterranean diet. There's the Jeannie Craig. There's the Jeannie or Jenny. Jenny. Could be a Jenny. Anyway, Nutrisystem, South Beach, and Atkins, just to name a few. Work with me here, okay? It's Sunday night. But thank you, hallelujah. But my favorite is the seafood diet. That's spelled S-E-E-F-O-O-D, seafood diet. How many likes that diet? As you can tell. But the one I just read to you about from Joshua chapter 5 is from just enough to more than enough. Come on, think about it. God told the children of Israel that he would supply their needs from manna with honey wafers and quail and a never-ending supply of water. But that was just the bare minimum. That was just to get them by. Hello? I don't know about you, but I don't like to go to the table just to get by. Okay? That was, think about it. The manna was great. That's what they call for, is honey wafer type stuff. Quail, all the water that they needed. But that was just to get them by. I've heard people talk about all the manna from heaven. Well, that manna's good, but God's got a lot more than that. Okay? Again, work with me. He told them that he specifically had a place prepared for them, a land that flowed with milk and honey. Now that's my kind. Okay? Milk and honey. He promised them vineyards and orchards that they didn't plant. Herds and flocks that they didn't develop. Not to mention all the houses and stuff. With an endless supply of blessings. Church, I'm fearful that sometimes we settle for the leftovers or just a sampler platter, but fail to pull up to the table for God to fill us up. I like going to the wooden spoon. Anybody like going to the wooden spoon? And they have a dessert called a sampler platter. Are y'all feeling God right about now? But Brother Johnny, that don't get me very far. I just bring me the whole coconut pie. I only cut it in half because I can only eat two pieces. We settle for so much less than what God has for us. I'm not knocking the manna and the quail. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying, God's got so much more than that for you. He wants you to, that's what he was forcing the children of Israel to do, to change their diet. From the have to the abundance. And in your life, God wants to give you the abundance. Huh? Somebody say abundance. We're so easily, when we come to church, if we just, you know, feel a doodad or two, we feel like we've been blessed, we've been to church. But God's got so much more. He's got an abundance of blessings for you. This is one of my favorite scriptures in Psalms 34, 8 through 10. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is that man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lion does lack and suffers hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." My. King David said, "I've been around the world. I was young at one time and I've gotten older." Brother Ronnie and I understand that. "But there has never been a time when he has forsaken the righteous or when I've seen his children begging for bread." Sure, there's been times when we might not exactly get everything we want, but we've had enough. I've had people to tell me that their experience, how rough it was growing up. Talked to one individual that they could not stand pancakes because during the time in their life when they was growing up, that's all they had for several weeks was pancakes. So they didn't like pancakes. They couldn't stand them. I've heard of those that had nothing but brown beans for weeks, and they only ate them out of respect because it saved their lives so many times growing up. I know that there has been lean days for some of you. But God has kept you and brought you through. Yes. God's kept you and brought you through. Yes. Only if we desire a spiritual diet like we do natural food. Because Jesus put it like this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, "Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled." Blessed is he. If we would seek God, if we would hunger and thirst after the things of God like we do the natural food. So do we really want revival? What are we waiting on? Are we satisfied with the honey wafers and the quail? Are we ready to go over and receive what God has for us with the fruit of the land? We have quoted the 23rd Psalms since beginner's class in our Sunday school, maybe even nursery, but perhaps not fully grasping the fullness of its meaning. The mercy and graciousness of God will not let us famish even when we are pursued by those who wish to harm us. Is that good stuff or what? Listen. He said, "I'm preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemy." The mercy and the graciousness of God will not let you famish, even when you're pursued by those who wish to harm you. For he has promised that our strength would be renewed, and we would have the source of strength like the eagle, and we would run without getting tired. He has anointed you. The last part of that verse of scripture says, "He anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over." He has anointed us for the fight and caused our cup to overflow with joy. You're not amening me near as good as I'm preaching. This is good stuff. He has promised that he would prepare a table before you. Even though you're being pursued by those that desire to harm you, he has anointed, think about this, he has anointed you for the fight. Sometimes I've heard people say, "Man, I just can't take no more, I can't fight no more, I don't have any more strength." But he has anointed you for the fight. And he has made a way and prepared a meal for you in the midst of that, so your strength would be renewed. And he has caused your cup to overflow with joy. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. In Solomon's writings, we see a love story unfold. With a metaphor of words that make our mouth water. And I'm going to read it to you in a minute. As he describes his relationship with his sweetheart, I am confident that our Heavenly Father has a delicious and scrumptious table of love spread for us even tonight, which he has already showed through his Son, Jesus Christ, his Son, in the endless and countless blessings. Solomon put it like this as he was expressing his love to his sweetheart. Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 3. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. He has taken me to the banqueting hall, and the banner over me is love. He strengthens me with raisins, refreshes me with apples, for I am faint with love. I am lovesick. That's exactly what he was saying. I was lovesick. And he has prepared a banqueting table there. I believe Solomon's describing his relationship with his love exactly the way that Christ would describe his love and care for his bride, the church. Come on, work with me. And furthermore, I believe that that banqueting table that Solomon is describing pales in comparison to the care Christ has for us here and the table he is preparing for us up there, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Paul told the Corinthian church that their eyes hadn't seen and their ears had not heard what God had prepared for those who love him. Listen, he's got great things in store for us when we get to heaven, but he's got great things in store for us right now. We can't even fathom in our minds what he's up to now and in his kingdom to come. Can I say that again? When Paul told the Corinthian church that their eye hadn't seen and their ear had not heard what God had prepared for them that love him, we can't even fathom in our minds what he's up to, the present right now and his kingdom that is to come. Are you with me? 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 8, Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that should notice a dead dog like me?" But the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. Mephibosheth's grandson of your master will always eat at my table," David was saying. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Now Ziba said to the king, "The servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at the king's table like one of the king's men. If you don't know that story incomplete, when Mephibosheth was Saul's grandson when he was little, he was dropped and he was lame, crippled from then on. He couldn't walk. And David, in his mercy and his grace, get the picture. I've heard Mephibosheth preach several different ways, but I've never seen it quite like this. David's mercy and grace wanted to extend to the king, even though Saul strayed way off. David realized that there was a young man by the name of Mephibosheth, after he had inquired and was told about Mephibosheth, that was Saul's grandson, and he said, "You bring him here." He was so low and so down on himself. When he come to David, he said, "What in the world makes you even consider a dog like me? I am absolutely nothing." David said, "But you was at one time a grandson of a king." Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. Are you ready?
Yeah.
A lot of us can relate to Mephibosheth and his failures and shortcomings as a person, perhaps even his inability to walk straight or walk right in the spiritual realm, as we seem to stumble over our own spiritual feet and can't get it right all the time.
Yes.
Knowing our unworthiness of God's goodness, but Christ like David, or David like Christ, the Bible says that David was after God's own heart. So David, after God's own heart, extended mercy and grace to the king's grandson. Come on, somebody listen to me. So has the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords extended his mercy and his grace to make you and I king's kids.
Amen.
Hey, this is Sunday night. This is evangelistic service. I'm here to tell you, David extended mercy and grace to a king's grandson, but the God that we serve through his son Jesus Christ extended us mercy and grace so we would be king's kids. My, my, my. I felt them doodads go all over me, but I'm not satisfied with just them. I figured you'd be really shouting on that one. Isaiah chapter 55 verses 1 and 2 said, "Oh, everyone that thirsts, let him come to the water. He that hath no money, come, let him buy and let him eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Because he's already paid it all.
Yes.
The king's already paid it all. We're the recipients of his marvelous grace that literally goes past the manna and the quail and takes us to a place of a banqueting table of all of his goodness. You all testified about it a while ago. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which is satisfieth not? Hearken diligent to me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself and fatness." He sums it all together. He puts it all together. And he said, you can eat of these natural things, but he said, "I've got meat to eat that you don't know anything about. My mercy and my grace is sufficient for thee in all things." Sister Teresa, would you and Brother Larry, you, the praise team, come. It's recorded in John chapter 7, verse 37, that on the last and great day of the feast, Jesus stood and gave the same invitation that's recorded here in Isaiah. I told you I wasn't going to preach very long. You just thought all these notes was for tonight, but they're not. He gave the same, in John chapter 7, he gave the same invitation that was given by the prophet Isaiah many years ago. We've been eating the leftovers. Perhaps you've been snacking on Spam and ramen noodles. But the chief chef, the master chef, just walked into the kitchen with a full menu that will supply your every need. It's an invitation, but you have to accept it. You have to RSVP. You have to accept it.